Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at
Menards. All right, we're live, folks. It's Max Tawney. It's me, Sam Stein. Scott Pelley was just fired. Max, thank you for leaving your dinner. I don't know who you were eating with or if it was even a good meal. Max left his dinner to jump in an Uber to get on this for us. And in exchange, I'm allowing him to drink from his Semaphore mug.
I appreciate that, Sam. Thank you so much. It was I was at a media dinner talking about the future of of media at a really great restaurant in New York when this news broke. And of course, I was already on my phone texting with a lot of people and, reading some of the reactions and talking to folks. And, you beckoned. And so I had to do it.
Well, I wouldn't want to talk about toxic workplace environments at media companies with anyone else than someone who has been with me at a couple of those. but we're going to get into that in a bit. First, the news. Scott Pelley, revered CBS anchor and correspondent for 60 News, was fired tonight by the newly minted, I should say, executive producer of the program, Nick Bilton. So the lengthy firing letter, I don't know if we can put it up. There it is. I'm not going to read all of it. A lot of throat clearing up top about how Bilton wants to have a productive relationship and come into the program, bring new ideas, meet people, have one-on-one conversations. And then it references what happened yesterday, which was Pelley went on a absolute heater, I think is the best way to describe it, during an all-staff meeting, ripped Nick Bilton a new one, said Barry Weiss, who's the head of CBS News, basically wants to kill 60 Minutes. And then they just, people were saying, Barry Weiss's deputy was telling Scott Pelley he was being rude. Scott Pelley said that person was being rude and Barry Ross was being rude. Anyways, long short of it is they tried to patch it up today, didn't go well. And then this afternoon, this evening, Nick Bilton sends this letter to Pelley and says, your antipathy to the future of the show has come through loud and clear, and I've heard you. I therefore write on behalf of CBS News, Inc. to inform you that your employment with CBS is terminated for cause, and I think that's going to be important. Effective immediately, enclosed is your formal termination letter. We don't get the enclosure in this, but Max, I'm not surprised that it came to this. Are you?
No, I'm not. It seemed like it was headed in this direction, at least over the last 24 hours. I don't think the folks at CBS, the new regime, thought it was going in this direction. When I was talking to people over there in the new leadership cohort last week about the future of some of these correspondents like Pelley, like Leslie Stahl, like Bill Whitaker, there was a lot of optimism. At least that was the future line that some of these folks would return. And clearly on Monday, Pelley disrupted that by saying that the new network editor-in-chief, Barry Weiss, was murdering 60 Minutes and generally questioning the credentials of Nick Bilton, questioning the credentials of Barry Weiss, Nick Bilton being, the new executive producer of CBS. It was a remarkable, remarkable set of remarks. And clearly Nick and the new leadership at CBS didn't think it was going well. They ended the meeting after like 15 minutes. I think they thought it was going to go a very different way and it didn't.
Yeah. I don't know how you can anticipate the meeting's going to go that way.
Have you been in a newsroom meeting?
We talked about this today. I've been in bad newsroom meetings, but not that bad. Nothing like
no
that.
No way. No way.
Yeah, but okay. Let's test run this though. Was it that crazy to think it would go that way? Right. Like, I mean, let me put it this way: were you surprised that Pelley did this?
I mean, look, I think that Pelley's outward persona to a lot of people who might consume 60 Minutes or who are familiar with his 30-year career at the network would think, this is a not necessarily the most, animated individual in broadcast news. You know, he's not your Don Lemon or your Tucker Carlson or any of these types of folks. I guess neither of those guys are in network news either anymore or in cable news. But he was on, Pelly was on 60 Minutes in the evening news, known for being really straight and narrow down the middle. So I think in that
always
regard,
always holding his glasses, kind of chewing on them, you know, classic.
Well, in some ways, he was, dismissed from, it didn't work in one of the previous iterations of his career because he was kind of considered to be a bit boring. I think in that way, this was a bit of a surprise. But they shouldn't have been surprised by the overall morale within the network and the tone from a lot of the longtime staffers, which is frustration, anger, and disbelief that they're being layered by people who, don't have experience in network news. Not to mention the ideology and the
Was there anything Pelly said in that initial meeting that was like factually unfair? They don't have experience.
No.
Barry Weiss does. I mean, I guess you can interpret whether Barry Weiss is trying to murder 60 Minutes. That's probably just an opinion, right?
Yeah.
But she doesn't have experience. Nick doesn't have experience. They have gutted 60 Minutes, right? Though all that's fair. I guess it's an interpretation of whether, Barry's trying to, do something new with the program in hopes of saving it, or if she's just trying to do a political project with the program.
And whether they care about it. I think one of the comments that that Nick Bilton made was that he cared a lot about the institution, and Scott Pelly said, oh, please, or something like that. and so I think that that's something that I'm sure Nick Bilton would say, of course, that he cared about something like this. I spoke to him last week when he was hired, said all the things that you say when you're a new
executive. He was remarkably on point, right?
That's what somebody said. I didn't make that comment. I mean, you didn't make it? No, I did not make that comment. That was made by one of my esteemed peers in the media reporting business. I thought it was quite remarkable that he said that he wasn't intimidated by taking the job at CBS News. He said it's not the slightest bit intimidating. I told him in the interview, this doesn't come up in the text, but I said I would personally would be intimidated. I have also written columns and newsletters, and nobody's hiring me yet to be the head of the a program that's watched by 9 million people every week.
Hey, they have openings.
One could dream.
They have some openings to fill now. Actually, now that you mentioned it, who's going to fill this job? Like that's the thing. It's like, who the hell now takes this job and who can they get?
Well, look, there are, and I've been talking to people at CBS, there are a lot of people within the network who would love to be on 60 Minutes. It is watched by the largest audience for broadcast news in the country. It's putting up numbers that most programs still don't get, at least in the news category.
It's a behemoth. Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who haven't. Yeah, there's a lot of people who would love to be on right after Sunday Night Football. That's
right. I guess the other way to think about it, though, is what kind of person are they going to be looking for? I mean, you're right. They can hire tons of people. It's the question of what kind of person they would want to hire at this point.
Certainly, I think I know the direction that you're going with this, too.
I want to know what you think. You're playing it very straight, my man.
I'm not. Hey, look, I'm
you are playing it straight.
No, I mean, of course.
I want the unvarnished Max.
The unvarnished take. This is.
Did you not have any drinks at this dinner? What happened?
I had a glass of sparkling wine, or maybe two.
Oh wow!
It was pretty good. But to answer your question seriously, there is the question of how much ideology, political ideology goes into this. Yeah. And there was a discussion I was having with another media executive today where we were discussing, if there have been some reports out there that that Paramount is not happy with Barry Weiss and how she's in her stewardship of CBS News, which in some ways I think are actually like kind of unfair to Barry. What did you expect? You're hiring someone who has edited a successful but a Substack to run a major television news broadcast with hundreds and hundreds of more people, non-ideological too. Like this is a very, very difficult. This is a very difficult thing. And so when I was talking to this media executive, we were having the conversation of, well, it's going to go, it's going to go one of two ways. Cause it depends on what David Ellison, and other investors want. Do they want something that is going to make money and continue to, you know, operate as a business, continue to operate as a business, similar to what they had been doing before, or do they care more about ideology and inserting ideology into the news part? Is this an ideological project or is this a business project for the moment?
I just want to give people
this was answered.
You think so? Because I want to give people a sense. I want to give people a sense of the scope of the business we're talking about. Okay. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but we referenced them on an earlier broadcast. I think 60 Minutes made something like $260 million in ad revenue in like Q1, I think. I don't know. Something crazy.
It's unbelievable. Someone's
going to have to fact check me on that. $206 million total in 2024. Okay. So I was not Q1. I was a little bit off. But $206 million for one show. This is a behemoth. You know, that's still going to be there. There's still going to be audience. It's coming in after football. It's going to be there. But, like, you know, that's not something you really want to fuck with, honestly.
It's harder to make the pitch to advertisers, too.
Right. So who they replace Pelly with. Let's put up the picture of the correspondence, because it's not just Pelly, okay? You have Vargas on the left. You have Whitaker and Stahl in the middle. I don't know if they stick around after this.
There's a huge open question. I reported in my story with Built-In last week.
Oh, that's not Vargas on the left. Sorry. That's what's her face? That's Cheryl on the left. Vargas and Anderson Cooper on the right. Both of them are gone.
Both of them are gone.
Is now gone. You have Stahl and Whitaker right there. And there's an open question about that.
Yeah. I mean, we reported in our story on Thursday. I reported in my story on Thursday that Leslie Stahl has been on year-to-year contracts. She's 84. She's been on year-to-year contracts with
Good
CBS
for
a long time. I know, it's amazing. She's been on year-to-year contracts. So, and as far as I know, at least recently, she hadn't re-upped that that deal. So it'll be interesting to see. She could walk without any sort of consequences. They can't force her to stay. Bill Whitaker, it'll also be a really interesting question about him, given, as you mentioned, all of these other folks are all gone at the moment.
So it's Sharon Alfonsi. Again, I butchered the names and I'm an idiot. Sharon Alfonsi, we got Whitaker. Who's the second to the left guy? I should know this.
I should know it as well. I'm a little embarrassed to not. I feel like we're 7 out of 8 or there.
That's not
6
bad.
Out of 7. It's not terrible.
We're not doing so bad.
I know.
John Wortham, okay? Then you have Whitaker, Stahl, Pelly. Then you have Cecilia Vega and Cooper. And out of those, I mean, you might be left. I mean, is John Wortham going to be the last one? It's like, this could be a huge, dramatic overhaul. We haven't really seen any names floated about potential replacements, although I will say our old boy, our old pal, Lachlan Cartwright, had a name today. It was an unconventional one. I hadn't seen this one floated. Ex-New York Times guy, Matthew Rosenberg. So he's now in private equity or like hedge fund management or something.
Nice
weird.
Guy,
like,
but caught up in Project Veritas.
Hey,
sting. Were you? How did you respond to that? They just followed you around, though.
No, they didn't. They actually didn't sting me. They did a sting of my Columbia Journalism School professor.
Oh my god, I remember this.
To try to get me. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy. But they didn't actually. They never got you. Yeah.
No, there's like, well, the journalism professor was like, yeah, Sam's a great reporter. He likes to get sources drunk. And they're like, ha! Anyways,
I actually remember this.
We're getting off topic here. So yeah, the future of 60 Minutes. Unknown questions. We'll see. I think you're right, though. I think we got an answer that this is a political and ideological project and not a business one.
Can we like expand on that a little bit?
Sure,
I do think
ahead.
That there's, I think that there's something there. I think that the decision by Barry Weiss and David Ellison, who talked to Nick Built-In about his hiring and the decision to move forward, I think really said a lot about what direction that they want to take this. I think that if they had been really concerned about the direction that Barry was going in and they wanted to put someone, they wanted to change up 60 Minutes, but put someone in charge who could be a, could oversee this in kind of a steadier transition, I don't think David Ellison would have signed off on Nick Built-In, right? Because he is, I don't think that Nick is necessarily a controversial pick in terms of his ideas, but he is unconventional. And like many of the leaders at the new CBS, like Barry, like Charles Farrell from the Wall Street Journal, like Adam Rubinstein, who was at New York Times Opinion with Barry, these are people who do not have traditional television broadcast experience. So what they're saying with what they were saying when they hired Bilton, what they were saying by firing all of these individuals is that this is the new CBS. They have an idea of what they want to do ideologically.
But what is the idea? Okay, fine. Ideologically, that's fine. I can understand that, but like operationally and just from like a user experience standpoint, what does that mean? Right. Cause you could be like, well, we're going to be like really much more aligned with like short form video, but like, come on,
make more TikToks, I guess.
Is that really it?
I mean, you've seen the stuff that, you know, Olivia Rheingold has done, for CBS, and some of the other younger folks from the Free Press have done
product
with CBS.
That's just a different product.
I don't disagree with
It would be like turning the New York Times op-ed page into like a bunch of tweets.
You mean like turning the Washington Post op-ed page into a series of right-leaning short-form videos? Oh wait, actually, they did that.
That is the project.
They did that,
and it's gone. It's been a huge success. No, but in all seriousness, the entire
it got
project,
attention
for a brief time. Yeah, for the wrong reasons. Some attention. Yeah, but again, the product is. We do serious broadcast journalism. It's the one place you can get investigative television journalism. And it's like, you know, we all talk about Mike Wallace and Rivera and all that stuff, but like that's real. And
yeah,
you know that, you know, there are brand issues here that you have to run into. You don't not everything should or can be turned into vertical short form videos as much as like as much as people are consuming them, there is still an appetite for what they do, obviously.
Look, I'll say this. I hope that a lot of people are wrong. I hope that they do continue to do the important work. That 60 Minutes has done over many, many years when it comes to these short form magazine documentaries. Nick Bilton, talking to me, said that he touted his experience as a documentarian. Look, we haven't seen what he's done yet, so it's hard to judge what it's going to look like. Some of the firing decisions they made and some of the management decisions in these early days. So which points.
Look, I got you. Let me just say, we're going to take a tiny commercial break because we got to hear from our sponsors. My favorite sponsor. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm a big pocket hose guy. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
You don't know what a pocket hose is? Oh man.
Sorry.
Your mind's about to be blown. Pocket hose is the best hose on the market. And I will hawk that stuff all day long. We're going to hear from Bob Goes. I'm not going to keep you too long. I know you got, it's bedtime for you. It's like way past your bedtime actually. But on the other side of this ad, I do want to talk about Pelly and what comes next from. So let's hear first from one of the great products on the market, Pocket Hose. Folks, I have genuinely not been more excited to ever do an ad read before. I am stoked to tell
you
about
the
world's number one expanding garden hose and their brand new product, the Pocket Hose Ballistic. Yes, the Pocket Hose. You know, I love the Pocket Hose. I have it with me in the office for some reason. I have it at home as well. Been using it to water my lawn, get those flowers nice for the spring. Pocket Hose is the number one expandable hose in the world. It's super lightweight. It's easy to manage. Easy to store. You turn on the water and it just grows, and then you turn off the water and it shrinks back to pocket size, hence pocket hose. It's that simple. It's that great. And now for a limited time, when you purchase a new Pocket Hose Ballistic, you will get a free 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. You just have to do a little text. You text TAKES to 64,000. That's TAKES, T-A-K-E-S, to 64,000 for your two free gifts with purchase. Text TAKES to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. I mean, look how happy those people are with their pocket hose.
Do you use the pocket hose? Are you out there in the yard with the pocket hose?
Do I use the pocket hose? Yeah, I use it all the time. Pocket hose is awesome.
Really?
Absolutely.
What did they make Tim do? Tim had the wallet commercials, right?
Tim has a lot of commercials. People love Tim Pock and their stuff. But Pocket Hose, yeah. I'm hoping to become the face of the franchise. I love my Pocket Hose. Honestly, folks, if you're gardening, get
I didn't realize. Hose. Are you out there with the lawnmower? I didn't realize that. Anyway.
Yeah, man. I'm suburban good. And everything. Good All right. You. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Scott where do you Pelly. Live, Tim?
I'm not going to do that.
Just kidding.
That's not for this.
I'm sorry. It's late.
Scott Pelly. So Scott Pelly, let's just, he talked to the Times. I don't know why he didn't answer your phone call. I guess you're not as important.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Well, you just took a little swipe at my pocket of his love. He said, I've been in combat in Afghanistan. I have been in combat in Iraq. I've been in the war zone in Ukraine multiple times, risking my life and the happiness of my family because of my devotion to the broadcast. I think that's just sort of in reference to his love for 60 Minutes. I'm not really sure if he revealed much with that statement, so I don't think you missed much there, Max. But like, what comes next? Someone was joking. Maybe it was Megyn Kelly's producer or something like that. Like, Scott Pelley and Leslie Stahl are going to go start like a Substack and be on YouTube with their independent channel. And Barry Weiss is going to be at Legacy Media. It's just like an inversion.
That's so funny. It's true. And, you know, that is really true. But look, I mean, we can laugh at it all we want. But you people watching this know, because they are watching. And, you know, we've seen it with folks like Don Lemon and with Megyn Kelly and with Piers Morgan and with Tucker Carlson. With Terry Moran, with, you know, with Jim Acosta. There is obviously life after these, you know, losing your job in cable or in broadcast. And in some ways, it can be advantageous. And now you are unshackled and you can be in front of as large an audience as maybe not as large on, you know, an immediate basis, but the footprint is definitely still quite big. Megyn Kelly is as influential as she's ever been. Don Lemon certainly, I think, has more people watching some of these videos than, you know, some of the worst days of the morning show they moved him onto. So, I wouldn't be surprised. I was talking to someone, a CBS veteran today, who was saying that, you know, they wouldn't be surprised if they saw, you know, Pelley and Bill Owens, the old executive producer, team up on something. So that remains to be seen. I could see it happening.
I mean, they could obviously go independent and they'd be fine, like you're talking about. I'm curious if there's like a package that could be thrown at them. Like, is there a competitor who could be like, look, we could take some of like three big 60 Minutes names, piece it together and like start an actual real competitor, or are we just beyond something like that?
I think it's over. I mean, I think that, look, it's hard to tell how big 60 right. Minutes actually is, because they have the last remaining great lead in television, which is NFL football on a Sunday night, which is so people continue to watch right from football into 60 Minutes. You really cannot beat that. So I would be very curious what that program would look like if it didn't have football right in front of it. You know, whether 9 million people would be watching. I think we're past it. I don't think that any of the competitors, particularly because there are fewer of them, right? Like, it's really just NBC and ABC, and we haven't seen them want to rock the boat with these things. They're not trying to invest more in television. Oftentimes they're trying to invest less.
No, I think that's 100% right. So then you end up with some sort of new venture, an independent venture, like, thing but maybe he just doesn't want to do this anymore, right? Like, so he's been at 60 Minutes since 2004, so that's 22 years at the program. It's won 51 Emmys. It's a record. Started at CBS News in 1989. I mean, at some point you're just like, man, I don't really know if I want to do this anymore. And maybe that's it. Maybe like he was just like, I'm at the end of my career. I can go down with my convictions and swinging, and you know, I don't have to deal with this. And I can understand that, honestly. I mean, I don't know if I would do it, but I can understand that.
Look, in some ways it is one of the great, it's up there with some of the great broadcast departures. This is kind of how they used to go out in some ways, maybe not necessarily like this, but dramatic exits from television, from broadcast television. This is the thing that media reporters have been reporting on for decades and decades. It's a part of a long tradition, you know, of this type of thing. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we see it more and more.
It did remind me a little bit, honestly, of the time that you and I met with Alex Thompson at a West Wing playbook meeting, and you were just done with my edits. And you're like, Sam, go fuck yourself. You're trying to murder the product. Yeah. I'm not going to deal with this anymore.
That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I know.
Just a little backstory for folks. I did edit Max for a little while. Okay. So the other thing, and I'll let you go, honestly, I promise I'll let you go, but this was also raised, I forget who raised it, either it was Dylan Byers or Lachlan Cartwright, but like
who?
60 Minutes right now. 60 Minutes right now is on hiatus, but they use this time period to like do reporting, right? And to come up with stories and to get things ready for the fall when they come back on, because see, because football comes back and that's the whole shebang. And they're going into their 59th season. And there's like actual questions. Someone's raising like, are they going to have content?
Are they going to have
content for season 59?
They'll have content. Right? They'll have content. It just won't be probably
it's gonna be like interviews
as well produced, or they won't be able to do that extra phone call or that extra, you know, shot on location somewhere. You know, they might have to scramble a little bit more. I mean, look, in many ways, they have the luxury of spending a lot more time on these stories than I think you and I maybe have ever spent on any story. That's part of the nice thing, you know, of getting to start your stories for September in June. But certainly, I think certainly we'll see a drop off in, you know, that extra effort, because this is, nobody's doing any work right now. You know, I just want to put this out there because I you know, haven't said it anywhere or haven't seen it reported. But, you know, it was a really interesting scene today at around 6 p.m. After Scott Pelley had this meeting that didn't go well, you know, with Barry Weiss, and everyone was trying to figure out what to do. Barry, I'm told, you know, Barry was, you know, in an office with Nick Bilton and with Tom Cebrowski, the other president of CBS News, trying to figure out a way forward here. Meanwhile, you know, Pelley was in his office and, you know, there were a lot of his, you know, producers and other folks kind of milling around, also kind of just waiting to see what was going to happen. Nobody's doing any work. Nobody's getting any of the stories done for, you know, for the next you know, for the next season. So I think certainly they'll be starting on a bit of a lag.
Yeah, to say the least. No, they're going to, I think JBL said this, is just going to have to rely on just interviews, right? Like the one thing Barry's been very good at, honestly, is booking interviews, right?
Totally.
BB and Trump and all that stuff. She can use her Rolodex and they'll just do that.
They get different types of guests too. They had Palmer Luckey, who I wouldn't expect to see on an older episode of 60 Minutes. They'll definitely fill it in with you know, with some big name folks like that. But the question really is, how do CBS, is that what CBS viewers want? I mean, technically, when you survey the viewers of broadcast television and of television news, non-Fox television news in general, most of them tended to be voters for Joe Biden, people who did not, you know, for Kamala Harris, people who were not necessarily supporters. They're consumers of legacy media, right? Yeah. So,
all right, let's leave on this. Well, two things. One is predictions. Well, first, no, we'll leave on two things. First is the Megyn Kelly tree, because I think she, you know, got to hand it to her sometimes. She had a really funny one about this. Dear Mr. Pelley, your fired effectively immediately would have been far more impactful and less needy. She's right. He didn't need to go through all that throat clearing in the letter. I got to hand it to Megyn Kelly in that one. It would have been more effective.
I agree.
Let's leave on this. 2 years from now. No, let's make it 3 years from now. Is 60 Minutes still in there?
It's a great question. It's such an amazing brand. I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have it on the air. I mean, it is
5 years like, from now.
Yeah. I mean, look, does Time Magazine still exists? Newsweek still exists
somehow. You know, somehow
these brands are floating along long after anybody, you know, the millions of people who used to be subscribers and used to be purchasers of the magazines when they were checking out at the grocery store. These brands still exist. I imagine CBS will, it was 60 Minutes will exist in some sort of form. I just don't think it may not have the gravitas of previous generations.
All right. That was too easy. One crazy name or unexpected name for next CBS or 60 Minutes correspondent.
I'm not going to say Stamstein because I don't want to be too flip here.
Obviously I'm not going to be that.
I mean, look, there are people who are out there who work for CBS right now, who are posting on Twitter positive things about Nick Bilton.
You can name names.
Jan Crawford, who works for CBS, has been posting some positive stuff. People inside the network thinks that, you know, she wants to be, you know, on there. I don't know.
It's a nasty business, Max.
It is a nasty business. Look, it's not the nastiest thing that I've seen covering television news, I'll tell you that. I mean, you know, there was Weijia Jiang, the White House correspondent for CBS News, president of the White House Correspondents Association, congratulated Bilton when he got his job. Maybe she didn't, you know, put it together when he tweeted that out. So, you know, not really sure. But there, one thing that I've been hearing from people at CBS today is that there are definitely some folks I think there's resentment towards some folks who are waiting in the wings to snap up some of those assignments, but we'll see those assignments be snapped up for sure.
It's a nasty business. Look, if asked, I would serve. If asked, I would serve.
Yeah. I'm going to say you're on MSNBC on some weekend time slots. That would be a better one. I'll say that.
Actually, you're right. I'm contractually obligated. I can't. I have a contract on this now, but I will just say this. The money's good. Two people familiar with the business of CBS News suggest that 60 Minutes correspondents can make as much as $5 million each year, with less seasoned on-air personnel earning less, while the executive producer earns about $2.5 million and the executive editor around $1 million. Damn.
They're all going to be making less than that. Sorry, but part of this is also there's cost money cutting. Saving. You know how this goes. There's cost cutting that goes along with getting rid of some of these older folks as well. I mean, not some of the folks like Cecilia Vega. They're paying her contract out. She was not done.
Saying I'm going to let you go, but I'm not going to let you go. Because did reference this up front. I said we have to return to it because they fired Scott Pelley with cause. So, I mean, that to me suggests that there's going to be some legal stuff here, like that. I don't know if he's got a ground to stand on because he did throw an absolute, like, I don't want to call it tantrum. He lobbed some grenades in there, but like, is this gonna be like one of these things where it gets like a little, you know?
I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't heard anything about that yet. It just depends. It depends on his appetite for it, right? Like, is that what he wants to do? And like, if he wants to spend money, believing that he was wrong, I think my guess is that. His defiance today in the meeting, I think, showed that he did not. This was not a thing that he thought, oh shit, I got to backpedal here, save my job, maybe. No, he was okay with the consequences. I think
he knew the consequences. And did it deliberately and felt like, you know what, I'm gonna go out the way I want to go out. Brother, thank you for doing this, guys. This is the sacrifices this man makes to appear for you. He left a 3 Michelin star restaurant where he eats.
It's a Michelin bib gourmand. It's the ones that you can afford, I think.
Was drinking the finest bubbly. He told me only for you. And then the Uber driver took a wrong turn and he was like, I can't make it. And I kept texting
It was a work dinner.
Big fancy dinner.
No, it was a nice place, but it was a work dinner. You know, you got to go for work.
Well, I was trying to make you out to be a hero, but you're not even, you're so humble. It's unbelievable. All right, Max Tawney, media reporter and overall mensch, one of the best in the business from Semaphore. Love you, buddy. Thank you for doing this. For everyone else who tuned in on a late Tuesday night, Scott Pelley was fired. We knew it was coming, but big news in the industry. Kind of a seismic moment for broadcast journalism, and we'll stay on top of it. So subscribe to The Bulwark. Subscribe to our YouTube feed where you get great content like this. Talk to you later.